My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's the back-to-school season, and in the coming weeks, schools and colleges will return to the regular routine. Our choir stalls will be filled with our boy choristers once again. Blessings on backpacks and indeed new students will mark the rhythm of a new school year, a rhythm filled with tradition, music, creativity, new opportunities and song. Across the land and beyond, it won't be long until preparations are made for fall festivals, Thanksgiving, and of course in many parishes and schools the world over, there will be the great reveal as nativity or creche plays are cast, and the most anticipated question for many a child will be, who will play Mary this year? Mary, as we recognised on Friday and to today, isn't a meek and mild Christmas character, but someone who is strong, faithful, someone whose witness is pivotal in the life of the living church, our church. To some, she is Queen of Heaven, Star of the Sea, Mother of God. There's a whole list of names which have prompted Mariological debates alongside images that signify comfort, support, intercession, and hope. While to others, her story, her song may seem unreal and quite literally on a pedestal removed from their lives, or is to be dismissed altogether. As a child, I grew up in a very evangelical Anglican parish where Mary was simply a historical character in a story whose song we borrowed each week for evensong. As a child, I found stories of apparitions and visions and miracles associated with her to be somewhat fascinating, but also confusing. And also the portrayed commercialism of shrines with artificial flashing Madonnas and glow-in-the-dark rosaries, and places of protest were places to be dismissed. But that changed. It wasn't until about this time of year, 40 years ago, as I went off to college. St. Mary's College, Twickenham, just on the edge of London. There I discovered, in prayer and pilgrimage, in song and in the witness of others, that Mary was, and indeed still is for me, no distant plaster cast figure, but the bearer of the incarnate word, the word made flesh, Theotokos, whose very life continues to bear Jesus and constantly points to him. She points to him in her life and her song. Mary, the mother of Jesus, who bore him from the cradle to the grave and beyond. Mary, his mother, who sought him, found him, told him to listen to others, beheld him and held him with tenderness and open arms in life and death as he was taken down from the cross. Mary too opens up her soul, her arms to us. And so on this, her continued feast day, what might Mary, her life, her song mean for us, for you, today? For a start, Mary's song, her Magnificat, doesn't depict a meek and mild character. And as we heard in the gospel reading, it's a song of celebration and relationship we heard how two women, Mary and Elizabeth, celebrated the Lord's coming birth, one who is pregnant far later than expected, and the other far sooner than expected. And as Mary sings her gospel song in the presence of Elizabeth, life stirs and leaps within Elizabeth. Mary's song too echoes the themes of abundant life from Hebrew scripture found in Hannah's song in 1 Samuel. Mary bursts with joy and gratitude for God's favor in calling her to bear Jesus, the incarnate God who she acknowledges and sees as someone who is part of God's greatness, holiness, and mercy. This Magnificat, this eternal canticle, screams of revolution, one so radical, it's in fact banned from being sung in some countries. As we hear echoed throughout Luke's gospel, Jesus, the incarnate word, will disrupt the whole of social order. The poor in spirit will have the kingdom of heaven. The gentle will inherit the earth. The hungry will be filled, and those who mourn will be comforted. Who is this incarnate word, this Jesus, for? Yes, the poor, the powerless, the sick, the lonely, the weak. The list goes on, but includes you and I. This canticle, this song, is too a prayer for the church, not just at evensong, although I do love it. It reminds believers to reflect on God's actions in their lives and to respond with humility and praise and to ponder the offer of God's grace that extends to all of humanity. St. Ambrose once said, "Let Mary's soul be in us to glorify the Lord. Let her spirit be in us that we may rejoice in God our Saviour." So how are we to act in union with her fiat? By saying our own yes to God, so we ourselves become a means to bring the word of God into the world. How might we, like Mary, magnify God in our lives, in this place? As we heard on Friday and again in the Rector's Chronicle this week, everything, that's everything, we say about Mary must say something about her son, the incarnate word. Quoting Archbishop Michael Ramsay, he said, "Mary's call by God is, of course, at the heart of Christmas and is probably the first and most important reason why we venerate her. But Mary gives us a pattern of Christian living which echoes our own calling and our own journey with God." He continued, "This pattern of living many of us recognize in our own pilgrimage or journey of faith. Our sense of calling by God, who am I? What does God want me to become? Our sense of journeying with God through those hard times as well as the good. Our sense of wonder in glimpsing the glory of God. Those moments when we can almost touch God and feel God's presence as we too are filled with his spirit. A hope to share in that glory so that not even the fear of death can prevent us from living in joyful expectation. Our call for justice in lifting up the poor, reaching to those who are hungry in need, those put down by the powers of this world." So as we leave and go into the week ahead, how might we, like Mary, tell out our song, tell out our soul and bear Jesus, the incarnate Son, to the world, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.